first chapter that my co-editors and I wrote, we provide a brief review of the legacy of racism for children. So beginning with slavery, and, you know, that's followed up with, you know, once slavery was abolished, you know, we had years and years where laws and policies were overtly discriminatory. And then even after many of those laws and policies were deemed unconstitutional, the practices within our institutions still produced discriminatory outcomes. So we need to understand the issues first and then talk to, engage with our community leaders directly with respect to these issues, contacting those legislators, obviously voting.
Your book and the information does focus on children and teenagers. How do we get this information to children and teenagers so they're more aware of it and they're going to be the next generation, the leaders of this country? This sounds like very important information for them as well.
My friend, who is a professor at Northwestern, Sylvia Perry, has been conducting research related to how we have conversations with children about racial bias. And what she found was by encouraging white parents to have a conversation with their white children about racism. So post-conversation, it significantly reduced their children's implicit racial biases, and it also reduced the parents' implicit racial biases, and that this was true regardless of how uncomfortable that conversation was. So even if the parent was acting in ways that were sort of awkward, as, you know, parents might do, white parents especially, when they're talking about racial biases, it still had a positive effect on reducing implicit racial biases. So I think the important sort of takeaway message is we need to be talking about our kids. A lot of research shows that white parents do not do this. They just don't. They want to raise colorblind children, which is a mistake. There is no such thing as a colorblind society. So we want to raise race-conscious children. We want to have conversations with children about the realities of racism so that they can understand what it is, the historical roots of racism. It starts with parents, but it also needs to be happening in schools. And as children get older, we can get into the specifics of this kind of research and what it shows us. We don't have to wait until they get to college to learn these things. We can begin earlier, as you have suggested.
Was there any information as you were gathering all of this together that really surprised you?
I just conducted with one of my former students, Ari Watson, a study related to the school-to-prison pipeline. And what we did was we recruited a sample of teachers, presented them with a vignette describing a high school student in a fight with another high school student, and we experimentally manipulated the student's race. So he was either described as, portrayed as black or white. And we found that these teachers were more supportive of punishing that student when we portrayed him as black than when we portrayed him as white. So we also involved in this scenario a school police resource officer who used physical force, put the kid in a chokehold, slammed him to the floor. And we found that various attitudes predicted support for the police officer's use of force and for punishing that student. So as police legitimacy increased, people were more supportive of punishing that kid. What we found was that those relationships were far stronger when we portrayed that child as black than when we portrayed that child as white. And in fact, in many cases, those relationships only existed when we portrayed him as black than when we did as white.
Thank you for sharing all of this with us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to.